Welcome to the Organize 365 Coffee Chat. These coffee chats pop up when I have something fun or important to share with you about what is going on at the Organize 365 company. Coffee chats share time-sensitive information, so when the coffee has gone cold and the information is no longer relevant, these episodes will disappear from your podcast queue, keeping the Organize 365 podcast feed current and relevant. I think our coffee is ready. Becoming an organized person is both an outer game and an inner game. What I mean by that is most of what you see in the media, on TV, in the stores, is the outer game of organization. What does your house look like? What do your bins look like? What does your bookshelf look like? Yes, of course my books are rainbow organized on my bookshelves. It looks amazing. I love it. It's so fun. And I have a photographic memory, so I know if I'm looking for a book what color the spine is, so it completely works for me. But if you don't see the world in Technicolor, as I do, and you like to find books by category, like all of your medical books in one area, and all of your religious books in another area, and all of your children's books in another area, then a rainbow-organized bookshelf will not help you at all. So the outer order of organization is what other people look to see if you are organized. But truly organized people are organized on the inside. And inside organization doesn't always look perfect, doesn't always look pretty, but what it does do is it provides calm in the storm. It provides order when you're in the midst of chaos. And it provides breathing room and clarity for you to think and make a plan as life continually pivots. I love that Pat, my executive assistant, long ago said to a new employee, we were talking about, you know, we pivot and, you know, we pivot inside of Organize 365. And she said, yeah, we pivot so much, it looks like we're dancing. And I love that. I love that because that is true. Life is a dance. Like it is the dance between the known and the unknown, the necessary and the not necessary, the how you want to spend the time and how you need to spend your time, opportunities and opportunity costs. And we are constantly pivoting and dancing through our lives. And along the way, we have different levels of organization. And often when we declare, I am going to be organized, we are talking about our storage rooms and our kitchens and our bathroom and our car and our backpack and our closet. Like we want to organize an area of our life that feels chaotic and out of control that we can see with our eyes. And the end of that day or that week, we can see a finished product and we feel, yes, I am organized. What I have found to be true, well, that is awesome and that is great. And the Productive Home Solution does that fabulously. And everyone can learn to be physically organized. Mental organization and unexpected life event organization is often invisible. Let me give you an example. So you have likely experienced one of these events. You have moved houses, or you have had a baby, or you have gotten married, or you have lost a loved one, or you've had a medical event for yourself or a family member in which you were helping them through. Like, all of these big life changes have outside things that happen. Like if your mother-in-law falls and breaks her hip, people are going to bring casseroles and people are going to recognize that you have to leave work in order to take her to doctor's appointments. That's very visible work. It's obvious. It's very related to the event that has just happened. However, there's a lot of invisible work that is done during that time. And that invisible work is very stressful and needs to be organized by the person that is the primary caretaker. And so often, that invisible work is twofold. One, you have to reorganize your calendar, your priorities, your already full responsibilities, and make room for the new work that is created. And two, all of these events are extremely paper heavy. They may be digital paper heavy, but often they are physical paper heavy. And that is what we offer you the solution for in the Productive Home Solution. Now, the Organize 365 binders have been around for 5 years. We created them in physical form 5 years ago, and 2 years prior to that, they were available in a digital form in its earliest inception. And these binders were created out of all the unexpected events that I personally have lived through. And I was looking for a solution to organize the invisible work that I was doing, and frankly, to give me a playbook for what the heck I needed to do. And here's what I found. The visible work that needs to be done when someone passes away or someone falls ill or you need to move a house, that is readily available. But the invisible work is so invisible that it's also invisible to the professionals that help you through. So I'm going to walk through all four of the binders that we have inside of the paper solution and explain to you what each of those binders, what life stage each of those binders solve the problem for, and how when you get the full paper solution, you're able to ditch your file cabinet and know that you have everything that you need for the life events that you have already experienced and will likely experience in the future. So we will start with the Organize 365 Medical Binder. So the Organize 365 Medical Binder was created to solve the problem of how do I become the power of healthcare for someone? Often, if you ever find yourself as a caretaker for a loved one, there is no instruction manual. And that's what's unique for the Organize 365 binders. They're awesome binders, let me just tell you. I could go on for a whole podcast about how we source these binders and how amazing these binders are. They're great. They're 2 inches, deluxe, D-ring, one touch, yada, yada, yada. But the binders also come with a workbook. And the workbook is the priceless part of each of these binder systems. So there's the binder, the workbook, and then the slash pockets that divide the workbook inside of the binder and also have pockets that you could put information in until you can three-hole punch it and put it in the binder. So when you find yourself as the power of healthcare for someone or the caretaker for someone, there is no instruction manual. All of a sudden, in the blink of an eye, just taking a phone call, you find that your whole world has been turned upside down. And all of the focus is on the person who needs the care, as it should be. However, you, as the caretaker, or if you're lucky enough, you and a sibling or another family who are sharing the caretaker responsibility are then left to organize the person's life who needs the care and reorganize your life and the work that is on your plate and create modifications. Along with these complications, you also have to interact with medical personnel that you may or may not already have a relationship with and answer questions about your loved one's healthcare that you may or may not know the answer to. I have been caretaker for my children as a parent, and that's what you are as a parent. You are the caretaker of the health of your children. Now, in my case, it involved a lot of doctors and hospitals. You may not have had to caretake to that level for your children, but when you do, you realize that you don't know everything that you know. And if you've ever been in a caretaking relationship, you realize that a lot of the caretaking of a person is not necessarily cut and dry. And the information needed to make medical decisions is not always readily available based on blood tests or an X-ray. Often, especially if you are caretaking for children or if you are caretaking for people who are aging, a lot of the signs and symptoms that things are off track are behavioral. And being able to know what baseline behavior is and off-track behavior is something that you can only experience as a caretaker. It's not really on any of those medical forms, and it's not really in any kind of medical records. But both in caretaking for my children and in caretaking for older people, I have found that when you track the behavior over time, you often know when you're going to need medical intervention before the medical tests will show that the medical intervention is needed. So a really cut and dry way of explaining this is urinary tract infections. very, very common for people as they get older to get urinary tract infections and not have symptoms. And the only way that you know that your loved one has a urinary tract infection is that their behavior becomes not their typical behavior. And over time, they end up usually in an emergency room, and then they run a UTI and they find out, yes, they have a urinary tract infection, because one of the side effects is you start to have an altered mental state from a urinary tract infection. That's just one example I can give you. When you are the power of healthcare or the caretaker for someone, it is such a huge responsibility. And you know, if you're in this situation, that it is a huge responsibility. So the two things that I will say about this before we move on to the next binder is, number one, if you are a caretaker, you need all of the organizational supports for yourself and for the person that you're caretaking for, because you do have a huge responsibility. And if they do not have the capacity to say thank you, I say thank you to you on their behalf. It is lonely to be a caretaker. It is hard to take care of someone that you love, that you see declining or needing additional care. It's hard for them to ask for the additional care. It's something that happens very privately and you feel very isolated. I remember when we created the Embrace experience and we allowed virtual participation because of the pandemic, when I didn't think you could have virtual participation, some of you emailed me and said, oh, I'm so grateful because I've always wanted to attend, but because of my caretaking responsibilities, I cannot go beyond 10 miles away from my house. And I thought, oh, I forgot. I'm sorry, I forgot. It is a necessary and lonely path that you're on, and the medical binder is there to take a little bit of the emotion out and the support and put in black and white what you need in order to do those caretaker responsibilities. The second thing I would say about a medical binder is that when you ditch your file cabinet and you create these binders, I think my original assumption was, maybe yours is the same, is that this is great. These are really expensive binders, and I'm just going to take what's in my file cabinet and I'm going to put them in these binders, and then I'll have less, and then I'll have the access. That's not exactly what happens. 85% of what's in your file cabinet is going to be shredded or thrown away. Like, you don't even need it. I don't know why we file it. I guess because that's what we were told to do. But in the binders, especially in the medical binder, almost nothing that you need for a medical binder is in your file cabinet. Almost nothing. What you need to create a medical binder is in your medical record when you get it from your doctor's office, but the majority of what you need in a medical binder is in your brain. And if you don't take the time to write out your medical history and what happens when I have penicillin, which is not pretty, and then all of a sudden I pass out, no one knows. No one knows. And so the information that is in your brain for your own medical health history that you think, oh, I have plenty of time to tell someone about that, no one's ever going to need that. Right. Everyone thinks no one's ever going to need that. But someday somebody's going to need it. And if you've created a medical binder, then that medical binder will reduce the anxiety and the stress for the person who will lovingly step in and be the caretaker or the power of healthcare for you. And you have given them the biggest gift of giving them your medical history in your words so that they can advocate and care for you even better. And when you find yourself in a caretaking position, you can then use this binder as almost like an informal interview for the person. Like, you're going to spend a lot of time in doctor's offices anyway, might as well go through. So how was your grandparents' health? You know, and fill out the binder, because then you will have the information also and you will be empowered. The medical binder is now the gift of choice that I give to someone when they find themselves in a new caretaking capacity. I mean, you don't know what to do, right? All of a sudden, your good friend is now caretaking for someone, or your good friend has been diagnosed with cancer or something else. And like, what do you say? What do you do? Of course, you're going to offer to do their laundry or take their kids or take them food. And those are all helpful things to do. But also, you can empower them and whoever will be helping them make their medical decisions with this medical binder, which will take away some of the guesswork of what information they should be writing down and they should be taking to their doctor. Now, the medical binder gets you started, but every medical condition is so nuanced. I mean, look at the medical community, like, it's gigantic. It gets you started, and then you keep putting your information in the binder. A binder is so concrete. It gives you confidence as you walk into a doctor's meeting. It's a place for you to put your notes when you want to talk to your doctor again. It's a place for you to record information when you are passing off the caretaking responsibilities to the next caretaker that's going to take care of your loved one. And it keeps a clear place for you to have that communication. So that was the first binder that I needed and didn't have and created for myself. The second binder in the paper solution is the financial binder. And I'll be honest, this is the last one I made for myself because, I mean, we just don't want to look at our money, right? Like, even if there is money there, you just don't want to look at it. The financial binder was created after my sister and I were power of healthcare for my father, and then we ultimately ended up settling his estate. And it was a complicated estate to settle, and I did not live at home at the time, and I didn't know what I didn't know. And I remember walking into one of his four lawyers at the time, and this was the estate lawyer. And I said, okay, where do we start? And she was like, I don't know. Like, they don't know. Like, just in case you're wondering, they don't know what assets you have. They don't know what you... I was like, okay, so square one. I went to the file cabinet. I went through every single file. The files of my dad's car catalogs, which we didn't need. His golf scores, which we didn't need. Like, there wasn't that much in the file cabinet even that I needed for the financial. It was all on his computer, and I didn't know the password to the computer. So I finally got into the computer, and I got out some of the financial information, but there was still more that I didn't know. I put everything I could into a binder, and I brought it back to the estate lawyer. I was like, here's the puzzle pieces that I have. And she said, you just saved yourself thousands of dollars of my time because now I can at least direct you where to go next. Estate lawyers are amazing at settling estates. They are not good at collecting the puzzle pieces you need in order to settle your loved one's estate. Here's the thing. You're only going to settle one, two, three estates in your entire lifetime, and it's going to happen at a very inconvenient time where you're also grieving a loved one that has passed and probably planning the funeral and probably selling the family home all at the same time, and now you're supposed to know how to settle an estate. It's not an easy season of life to live through. And again, the workbook inside of the financial binder was created by myself and multiple people who had lost their families and run through CPAs and estate lawyers, like, what are all the things you could possibly need when you are settling this estate? And we created this workbook that is inside of the financial binder. And if you don't have whatever is in the financial binder, then you don't need that page that's in there. But if you do, that page is there for you to then go, oh, it's like a scavenger hunt. Oh, I need to have this information. Like, for example, my father was in the armed services in the 60s. So I had to go find that number. And then we got a flag from the United States government. But there are other things, like he did not have a pension, but sometimes your family members will have pensions. There will be money out there that they have earned along the way that you don't know about. The financial binder is really important. A lot of us today have 401ks, if you know we're millennials or Gen Xers, but a lot of baby boomers and the silent generation, they hold stock certificates, or you may hold stock certificates. A stock certificate is not a 401k. Like, it is a piece of paper that is worth actual money. You have to have the original. So in going through the file cabinet, you may find some of those pieces. But again, the majority of your financial binder is actually on the computer, and you need to know all of the passwords and all of the different life insurance policies and 401ks and cars and homes and all of these things, and who is the beneficiary, and are the beneficiaries up to date? Have divorces occurred, or marriages occurred, or little grandbabies been born, or did you move everything into a trust? Did you update then all the beneficiaries and all of those things to now the trust name instead of the original name? I know, you're like, oh, this podcast, it's boring. I want to turn it off. Yes, it's so overwhelming. Like, this is so overwhelming to think about because nobody has time to do this. You're not wanting to do this now, like go through and have a root canal about what your finances are for the day that someday that you might not be here and somebody needs to settle your estate. But the reality is somebody's going to need to settle your estate, and you are going to need to settle someone's estate. So you have two choices. You can either put your head in the sand and pretend this is never going to happen. And then when it happens, if you'd like, come on back, get a financial binder. But it's harder. It's harder when you're making a financial binder and you're settling an estate and planning a funeral, selling a house, and all of those things. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And while we all want to put that if off indefinitely, it is in your best interest. When you feel like you don't have enough time today, but you do have the mental capacity to work on these binders a little bit at a time. You don't need to do it all in one weekend, although a paper organizer retreat is a great way to get that done. But over time, chipping away at this, this podcast is coming out in February, you're likely getting your taxes ready. You're in the finances anyway. When you figure out everything that needs to go to Uncle Sam to pay the taxes on, then also populate all that into your financial binder and then just keep chipping away at it over the year. So those are the first two binders that pretty much everyone on the planet needs. They need a medical record and they need a financial record. The third binder in the series of the paper solution is the household reference binder. And the household reference binder is for your family home, the home that you live in. And this binder is for the asset, your home as an asset. I use this binder the most of all the binders that we have. I use it at least on a monthly basis. This is the binder that I go to find out what part you need for whatever thing is broken in the house, what color the paint is, how much mulch we spread outside. Anything related to home insurance, home improvements. Every time that we make any kind of updates around the house, I update it inside of this binder. This is the binder that you take to your realtor when you are ready to sell your house. Our house, I've lived in it 27 years when we sell the house. Nothing is the same except the studs. And we've replaced all the flooring, the roof, the skylights. We've built a shed. Like, the kitchen's been completely redone. We've been there 27 years. We basically moved without moving. So when you go to list your house on the market, you need to say, how old is the roof? How old is the refrigerator? Like, what are all the appliances worth? What's going to come with the house? What are the improvements? How much has been done to this house to increase the value for what you're going to list it for in the future? And then what documentations do you need to give to the new homeowner? When my father passed away, we needed to sell our family house. And so we had a whole room in the basement that was where the hot water heater was. There was a little storage room there. It had carpet and wallpaper and paint and all of the things that a new homeowner would need if they wanted to have all the decorating that my parents had put into that house over the past 30 years, which they would not, and most of which we no longer had there. And how was the house when you bought your house? Like, when we bought our house, we got all the old paint, all the old wallpaper that we immediately took down as soon as we moved in. The new homeowner does not need all of your leftover decorating supplies. They just need to know what color was the paint. So last year, we bought a condo for our son, and the homeowner left all of this stuff, like it's only a 2-bedroom condo, and they left like almost a whole room of all of these household supplies that you may or may not need. I can tell you right now, 22-year-old boy does not need a whole room full of paint and all of these extra supplies. All you need when you move into a new house, or all you want to know, is what is the color of that paint? Did you know that is the number one question that a realtor gets asked when people are walking through a house? What is the color of that paint? If you're going to repaint the room, you're going to need more than the quarter of a quart of paint that you have left in the storage room anyway. So the paint sample is not as good as just knowing the paint number. And that's what the household reference binder helps you to do. It walks you through, again, it has a workbook in there where you just fill out by room. What is this carpet? How old is it? What's the color of paint? What is the sheen of the paint? Like, all of that information that a new homeowner would need to know. All the appliances that would stay with the house stay in the household reference binder. So the refrigerator, the oven, the washer dryer, if you would leave the washer dryer, the microwave, the hot water heater, the HVAC, you could see we have all of this stuff. When we moved into our house, our homeowners left us a file cabinet full of warranty manuals and all of this information. Not what I needed. All I needed was the model number of each of the things and how old they were. And so the household reference binder will take a bunch of things out of your file cabinet. Now, you can keep all the manuals if you want. I don't. The reason why I don't is because I do not have the capability of fixing an HVAC or a water heater or a refrigerator. Like, I call someone. because I have tried to fix things before. And guess what I did after that? I bought a new appliance because I don't have the ability. If you have the ability to fix your appliances, then of course you're going to keep your manuals. So I keep the front page and the back page of the manual because it tells you what model number you have, and I get rid of the rest, and it makes a nice binder. Funny little story. Our HVAC guy came out to fix the HVAC because obviously I'm not going to do that because also that's scary to me. And he said, I need to see your owner's manual. And I was like, oh no, I obviously don't have that. I said, just a minute. And I ran upstairs and I Googled the model number, found the owner's manual, printed it out on my printer, put it in the slash pocket, and took it downstairs. He fixed the problem, and we now have duct taped that slash pocket to the side of the HVAC unit so that when he needs it again, it's there. But I've never in 27 years, other than that one experience, ever had a repair person ask me for the manual for any of the appliances that I have. They just seem to know what to do with all of these different appliances. So that is the household reference binder. It does eliminate the most paper out of your file cabinet when you do that one. And then the final binder in the paper solution is the household operations binder. And the household operations binder is so much fun. The household operations binder is all about you and your uniqueness and your family and how you celebrate life and the things that make your family unique and special. And that's where you keep all of your pet records and your vacation records and how you celebrate the holidays and how you celebrate birthday parties, your cleaning schedules, any kind of meal planning that you want to do, all of the household operations. I like to call it the teacher plan of a home. Like if you were the teacher doing the lesson plans of the house, that's what's inside of the household operations binder. The workbook that goes inside of the household operations binder is thicker than any of the other workbooks that we have. So many ideas about how to run your household more effectively, more efficiently, and just harness all of those things that make your family uniquely your family. So this is the paper solution. The binders are all available a la carte, but they're also available together. And when you buy them together, you get access to the editable PDF downloads, meaning that if you have the binder and you want to print out another page or you want to make this digital, you'll have that in the dashboard. There are also training videos inside of the dashboard for each of the binders. And there is a virtual paper organizing retreat. So the certified organizers have paper organizing retreat, both virtual and in person. Organize 365 will be having some in-person paper organizing retreats in Missouri and South Carolina in March of 2023. And then there is a 3-hour virtual paper organizing retreat inside of the dashboard that goes along with the paper solution. The day is finally here. The paper solution is available all in one with a dashboard and a community. Go ahead and check out the link in the show notes for more details.